Morning News starts right now.
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
Like sands through the black water, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I want to give you some neighborly recommendations, okay? Because in my military experience, I've had to go into a failing squadron, right? Right now, you all have you're a failing squadron. Okay, or
I'd like to just call for the people who I consider drama kings and queens to just stay out of the city business and let city handle business and, you know, keep your bullshit at your house. And that's all I have to say.
You know, what we got here is the pot calling the kettle black. You know, we're talking about drama kings and drama queens. And the ones that's talking about it is standing back there doing the drama on his own. And he needs to just be quiet.
If anyone wants to have a conversation outside the chamber, you're welcome to do it. If you're going to stay in here, please maintain decorum. We're in a recess, but that doesn't mean we're going to have arguments inside here. And step outside.
So, Milton City Council meeting last night was, as you would have predicted, a bit of a drama fest. And yet, you know, a lot of times I waggle my finger and joke about the crazy shenanigans that go on in Milton and the city council there. I actually have what I think is really good news. Now, it may turn out that I've got some things wrong again. You never know. But I spent an hour on the phone yesterday, actually during the meeting. I did not watch all of the meeting. I watched some bits and pieces and I cut some clips, but I didn't watch the full meeting. So from 5:30 to 6:30 last night, I was on the phone with Scott Collins, who was the manager that applied and got hired unanimously and then got negotiated with, and then everything went sideways, and now he's out, double out, like it was a hokey pokey. He was in, he was out, he was in, he was out, he's out, 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 okay? And let me just tell you this, great guy. I mean, I really like this guy. I feel like we really missed an opportunity to have him as a city manager. He had some, I mean, just across the board, he's the guy you wanted. He really is. I understand after not just his interview, but after talking with him, why the Milton City Council voted 8-0. Some things that I learned, and by the way, there is backstory on backstory. There's been animosity and acrimony and allegations of plots and things, intemperate things said in emails by employee. It's a hot mess in Milton right now, okay, over all of this. Really a lot of stuff. I'm not going to get into all of that because I think the takeaway from all of this is it's actually pretty easy to understand how this happened, but it took me talking to him to figure it out because reading all the emails and talking to different people did not solve the problem for me. So here's what I learned. They have the meeting. They have the Zoom meeting, you know, which is all the interviews, and he said he was getting calls within like 15 or 20 minutes of that Zoom meeting from citizens because they had put out the information that this was the number and this is the email. They should not do that in the future. I would say redact that information in the future. At least make it hard to find, not so easy to find. In and of itself, not such a big deal, but, you know, and by the way, he said very clearly, I don't have any animosity towards Alex Andrade. I don't have any animosity towards Heather Lindsay or Don Molinaro, the city clerk, or towards Mike Cusack. They were all great. No problem with the members of the public. Everybody was great. There was this allegation about Jeff Snow and James Calkins accosting him after the meeting. He says, none of that. None of that. It was just, they were in the parking lot. I kind of talked to him because it would have been weird not to talk to him. And, you know, Jeff kind of made a joke about, you know, hey, don't steamroll us in the negotiations. I took no offense at it. People have misreported that. Like, across the board, this is an overreaction to everything. He said, there's no problems, okay, in any of these things. But here's what I think. So how did all this go sideways? Here's what I think happened. City Council votes to make Alex Andrade the negotiator, the city attorney the negotiator, and Mike Cusack to be the liaison, just to have somebody from council involved in that process. And so Alex was preparing to do the negotiations, and he had sent an email and he tried to arrange a time to talk, and they'd kind of back and forth over a couple of days, and it was Thursday before they got together, and they did. He got basic questions answered. He had kept Mike Cusack in the loop on what was going on. Mike Cusack had expressed various frustrations about this for reasons I still can't quite make sense of, but I think I do now. And in the end, he made him an offer, okay, and then he pulled out on Saturday. Okay, made an offer on like Thursday and they pulled out on Saturday. What I learned yesterday in talking to Scott Collins is that Mike Cusack thought he was the person that was supposed to be negotiating. And that Alex was more of the like, just write the deals up, you know, write the contract up. Just the, you know, the jot and tittle guy, cross the I's and, or cross the T's and dot the I's. So apparently that's what Scott thought. And that is apparently what Mike thought. And so what happened is Mike gets on the phone. This is Scott Collins' narrative. Mike gets on the phone with Scott ahead of anything else. And says, you know, Alex Andrade wants to offer you 128. I think you ought to be offered 135. The range was 120 to 140. And so I'm going to offer you 135. That is not how it should have gone down. But if Mike really thought he was the negotiator, then I understand why he said that. The following 2 days later, sorry, a day later, that was Wednesday. On Thursday, he gets the draft from Alex for 130. And he's like, the what? Who's negotiating? Who's in charge of this? He didn't want to ask counsel what was going on because he didn't want to look like the dummy. But basically, Mike thought he was doing it. Alex thought he was doing it. They didn't agree. Now, some of the timeline here still doesn't quite make sense to me. But the short version is, I think Mike pre-undermined Alex by saying, well, he wants to offer 128, but I'm going to offer you 135. And then he didn't tell Alex that he was negotiating, which he should not have been, but if he thought he should have been, then I understand why he was. Come to find out, you know, he doesn't bring it up in any of the emails. He doesn't tell Alex, hey, I've offered him 135. But basically, Scott Collins is just confused why that's happening. Okay, that's kind of the backdrop. Why did he pull out? Over that, it doesn't seem like a big thing, especially since he had told Buzz Eddy, I'd work for 120. It's not about the money. In fact, I like coming at the low end of the scale because that doesn't alienate the workers who might be underpaid themselves, cops and firemen. And, you know, let's not put on a pretense of taking too much money. He was willing to work for 120, and they're offering him, well, either 130 or 135. Back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Watching it, a handful of things. One is Highway 90 in Milton. Well, they're both Highway 90 in Milton. One, though, is by 87, right at the top of 87, of course. It is split. There's an accident this morning, and right, sorry, I'm trying to get it all together. We got another call coming in, too. Highway 90 and 87. It's blocked in both directions on 90. It's blocked southbound on 87. And we got a call from a couple of people that said it could be 3 to 4 hours. Now, also, there's a chain and to come along and some tree limbs. This is on Highway 90 near the interstate, right after the overpass, I guess. And somebody else texted in and said it's Highway 90 heading north just before Blackwater Bridge. So debris in the roadway. Again, Highway 90 heading north just before Blackwater Bridge. And then Highway 90 at 87. Caution wherever you are, 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to Milton City Council last night. So why, if this was all it was a confusion about who was doing the negotiating and what the number was going to be, why did he pull out? Well, he told me there was a couple of things. Number one, and it wasn't anything like the public wasn't harassing him. He was getting a lot of calls, but none of it was like obnoxious. There wasn't any problem there. Even with the Pitchfork Posse people, it wasn't obnoxious. Okay. He just said one thing was it seemed some of the confusion seemed weird to him. And then he had kind of heard from a friend in Birmingham, completely unrelated to anything, that weirdly, like there was some plot out to get him to make this not work, to sabotage his, you know, tenure as city manager, to bring in somebody else. And he thought, well, that's odd. And then he said, look, comparing this situation to the situation in Fairview that he had taken over, where they also had conflict, at least in Fairview, they were all on the same page in the sense that they needed to fix it. And he said, you know, I didn't really see that in Milton. What I saw was a lot of people fighting, you know, the anthills scurrying around fighting each other. That's kind of his expression. He says, but I didn't get the sense like everybody was convinced it needed changing. And there's going to be some things need to change. A lot of things are going to need to change to make it work. But he was very optimistic. He thought, Milton's a great place. Milton is a great opportunity. I'd be a fool to pass this up because it's so great. Unless, and here's where he had concerns, is I'm moving my family. And I got kids I got to take care of. I got to think about their well-being. And if there is this opposition undercurrent political bickering going on, if the city's not all on the same page to try to fix these problems, if I'm going to have to move again in 6 months to a year because of all that, and it's going to be failure from the start, that's not worth the risk to me. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. If it had been taking a job across the street or a 20-minute commute, he would have done it. It was just moving his whole family here with all of this stuff that kept him from saying yes. And that's the answer. And most of the problem was caused by competing visions of who was supposed to do negotiating. Alex thought it was him. I think counsel designated him. Mike Cusack thought that it was him. He acted on that. And then there's some, you know, why did he hide from Alex that he was negotiating? Why did he hide from Alex that he had had conversations and talked about numbers? Why did he tell him to offer 128 and then Alex actually went to 130 because of not having to do a $5,000 stipend? If there's things to be excavated, those are the things to be excavated. So there is real dysfunction in Milton. There is political bickering and backfighting. And the basic problem is not that. It's that everybody doesn't trust everybody else. See, when I talked to Scott and I got these answers, I thought, you know, all of this kind of makes sense to me. Everybody overreacted the wrong way. I mean, for goodness sakes, the city clerk and the mayor, like, went and made a call with him at, like, the mayor's house just to not be in City Hall when it was happening so that it could be done in a, like, secluded environment away from all of, and like, that's the level of dysfunction. And I don't think they made the wrong choice to do that. I'm just saying circumstances put them in the position of feeling the need to do that. That's crazy. So, who are you going to hire next? Are you going to be able to find somebody? And this is a real consequence of the dysfunction that we're always reporting on. And I mean, just, it's that simple. You're going to have to get your stuff together, folks, or nobody's going to come to work for you. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune into our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Are you looking for a way to safely grow your savings and move your future forward now? Look no further than Gulf Winds Credit Union's money market account. The rate's so good, we're afraid to just spring it on you unprepared. Your safety's very important to us. Just know that your Gulf Winds money market account will make your money work harder and give you the flexibility you need to stash cash for your future. Visit GoGolfWinds.com and open the account with bigger savings and more flexibility today. Federally insured by NCUA. See GoGolfWinds.com for full details.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 725 here on News Radio 92.3. Just before we get to Candy with traffic, let's get AJ in here. Dave is out for the week, but giving us an update on what's going on at the beach this weekend. Lead lifeguard AJ, welcome back to the show, sir.
Appreciate it, Andrew. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Did I give you the right title? I don't. I feel like I demoted you. What's your official title?
Lifeguard supervisor.
There. Thank you. I'm sorry I demoted you. So, what are we looking at for flag and surf conditions this weekend?
So far, looking like green, possibly yellow if this wind picks up some minimal surf. But yeah, for today and the next couple of days, we're looking at mostly generally calm surf and currents, light wind. So. We're lucky on that front, but we're still obviously concerned about the heat.
Absolutely. And is that something that your guards are dealing with? There's a lot of people that are, having heat exhaustion, strokes, and things like, that kind of problem?
Yeah, on a daily basis. Yeah, on a daily basis, several patients a day this time of year, especially with this heat wave, heat exhaustions and fainting and dizziness and that kind of stuff. So definitely a concern.
Absolutely. And especially, the surf not being real active is good, but that probably also means not a lot of wind, which is not a lot of cool, which is, adds to the
exactly.
Sort of the heat effects as well. All right. Since we normally talk to Dave and I don't get to talk to you that often, I do have a real quick question for you though. You ready?
Sure.
Who's a stronger swimmer?
Yeah, hit me.
You or Dave?
I'd be faster in a sprint, but he beat me in the endurance.
There you go. Look at that. I like that answer. That's a good one. All right. Alex Johnson, AJ, is our supervisor for the lifeguards out on Pensacola Beach. AJ, as always, man, thanks for the time. Thanks for what you do to keep the beach and our tourists and our locals safe, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. All right, Candy, let's talk about traffic. How's it going today? Oh. It's easy peasy, right?
I know. It's Friday, y'all. Highway 90 and Highway 87 is blocked. East and westbound on 90, 87 is blocked southbound after a bad accident this morning. Somebody texted in after speaking with one of the sheriff's department at Santa Rosa County and said it could be 3 to 4 hours. Watch for the debris in the roadway, Highway 90 eastbound if you're heading towards Blackwater River. And mile marker 6 on eastbound I-10, law enforcement and some machinery in the right shoulder. Car way off the road in the underbrush. Barely visible, buried deep, but the lights are facing, so it's weird. There's a whole weird situation. Machinery may be there to cut the car out. Anyway, left lane good, so move over. And again, that's mile marker 6 on eastbound I-10. And a heat advisory, of course, in effect, as AJ just mentioned. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in, if you would, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, you just learned when talking with AJ there, the heat is not easing up at all. 90 million people lived in areas recently that have experienced dangerous levels of heat, and sometimes that can even be fatal. One man recently suffered a heart attack after mowing his lawn.
He then was having an extra load of stress from the heat on his body in addition to the manual stress. That's what finally tipped him over the edge.
That's Dr. Brittany Owens, and she says the heat played a role in that man's condition, and forecasters warn that the heat dome expanding over Texas and the Southwest, triple digits could drag well into the next week. There, luckily, it does look like our temperatures might fall a little bit here in the next week. Russian missiles reportedly hit grain terminals in southern Ukraine's Odessa region for the fourth night in a row. This week's attacks follow Russia's pullout from the UN brokered deal, allowing safe shipments of Ukrainian grain through the Black Sea. And that trial of actor Kevin Spacey now in the hands of a jury. Closing arguments were made yesterday in the 4-week trial that was happening in London. Spacey facing 9 charges in connection with alleged encounters with 4 men while he was in London from 2001 to 2013.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 729. Just one quick follow-up on the whole Milton, craziness. Again, to me, this is a situation where just kind of the city government needs to decide, are we going to continue to perpetuate, and citizens too, are we going to continue to perpetuate the chaos and the crazy, which creates an environment that, qualified people are not going to want to come work there. I think it also, at least Jeff Snow has said this a couple of different times. Something that your guards are dealing with is a lot of people. Jeff Snow has said this a couple of different times where the idea that you can't bring businesses in. It's hard to entice businesses into a chaotic environment because they don't trust, and that can be true in any situation, but it's having a cost. We're losing good people. You're going to probably lose employees, if that continues. You're going to lose out on other opportunities because, and I would just, one clear thing is, he was so adamant that Milton is a great place that has all kinds of opportunity, that it is a, in a lot of ways, like a dream situation to work on Milton. Like, he was so positive on Milton. That's what pains me. Like, I tried to convince, are you sure you won't reconsider a third time? You know, like, he was such a catch. But no, all to no avail, and I understand his reasons for no. So do some soul searching. Do some praying for the city.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
Tony Bennett died 96 years old. He had Alzheimer's disease. Won 19 Grammy Awards over a decades-long singing career. Senate Republican Chuck Grassley releases an FBI form of details of bribery allegations against the Biden family involving the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. It employed the president's son, Hunter. Ohio House Republican Brad Wenstrup on Fox Business.
Fortunately, we do have some authority still in Congress that we can get this type of information and reveal the truth to the American people.
The FBI says the release unnecessarily risked the safety of a confidential source.
The White House is adamantly denying these claims, saying, quote, it is remarkable that congressional Republicans and their eagerness to go after President Biden, regardless of the truth, continue to push claims that have been debunked for years.
Fox's Brooke Singman. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 80 degrees and mostly clear skies here in Pensacola. Well, Alabama put a man to death who beat an elderly woman more than 20 years ago. Alabama's Department of Corrections Commissioner John Hamm announced the execution yesterday.
The state of Alabama carried out the execution of James Barber by lethal injection at William C. Holman Prison. Barber was executed for the 2001 capital murder of Dorothy Epps in Madison County.
The execution of 64-year-old Barber is Alabama's first since Governor Kay Ivey lifted the suspension on capital punishment in February. Barber was convicted and sentenced to death for killing Dorothy Epps during a robbery in Huntsville in 2001. Ivey had suspended capital punishment last November. Well, it's the middle of a busy budget season, and now we've got an idea about the city of Pensacola's spending plan for the next fiscal year. Mayor D.C. Reeves proposing a budget of $313.9 million for his first full fiscal year as mayor.
You'll see, it's about the number in their proposed overall is $313 million. You'll notice a jump from $277. A significant portion of that jump is part of the airport fund.
And that's an increase of $36.5 million from the current year's budget. The airport fund is up $23.7 million, with $15.3 million of that coming from federal grants. Reeves also pledging $43.5 million to public safety. That's a 5.8% increase, largely due to pay increases for the police and fire departments. ECUA proposing rate increases for their services, as well as an additional fee for folks that want to continue having a curbside recycling can. The utility proposing a 3.5% rate increase for garbage collection. That would bring the standard rate for a 90-gallon garbage can to $28.46. The proposed rates would also include a $3 per month fee for a recycling can and reduce the cost for an extra garbage can from $4.60 to $2. A 4% increase for water and 6% increase for wastewater also proposed. The ECUA board considering those increases next Tuesday at their meeting. Milton city leaders trying to solicit developers to build out their riverfront downtown again. Earlier this week, Economic Development Director Ed Spears sent out an RFP for interested parties to submit their plans. It's the third time the city has solicited proposals. They'd like to see a mix of residential, retail, and commercial developments along their riverfront. They also want a new marina to be included as a part of that proposal. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office investigating a man's death on Wednesday as a homicide. Investigators say 70-year-old Stephen Lee Jernigan was found dead at a home on Schnorr Road just off Chemukla Highway. Deputies say, or detectives say that foul play did occur, and they have a reason to believe it was not random. The sheriff's office also says there's no threat to the general public. As of yet, no suspect information has been released. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic. Candy, what are you seeing out there?
There's a lot today. Large debris in the roadway. This is on the bridge on Highway 90, both east and westbound. If you're going from Pace or Pensacola, like both ways, I guess, large debris in the roadway. Use caution there. Highway 90 and 87. Now, at 90 blocked east and westbound on 90. 87 is blocked southbound after an accident maybe a couple hours ago. And somebody spoke with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office and said it could be 3 to 4 hours before that is cleaned up. Mile marker 6 on eastbound I-10, law enforcement and some machinery, both in the right shoulder. Car is way off the road. The headlights shining into the road, barely visible, buried deep. Machinery may be there to cut that car out. Not certain. Anyway, the left lane is good, so move over and certainly watch for debris in the roadway and all these places. And a heat advisory, of course, in effect until 7 p.m. tonight. If you have a traffic tip or you hear me say something that's not right, please let us know and text it in if you would. 437-1620. We appreciate you. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The heat is on again. We've got a heat advisory today, and temperatures will be up in the mid to maybe some places upper 90s. Lots of sunshine, very little chance for rain, but over the weekend, we're looking out for scattered showers and thunderstorms. The rain chance on Saturday, 50%, and on Sunday, it bumps up to 80%. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strum with your WEAR News forecast.
85 in Pensacola this morning, 85 in Gulf Breeze, and 80 in Milton. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashenko with Your Money Now. Another company is joining the rideshare market, InDrive, which differentiates itself through its bid-based business model and made its U.S. debut in South Florida yesterday. The privately owned international ride-hailing company launched in 2012 and has expanded into 48 countries around the world. InDrive believes its unique price model, where passengers and drivers negotiate and agree on the price of each ride, will set the company up for success as it goes up against Uber and Lyft. The Justice Department is revamping a team it launched nearly 2 years ago to investigate cryptocurrency-related crimes, saying the move will more than double the number of prosecutors available to work on the team's growing caseload. The National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team will become a permanent fixture of a section within the department's criminal division that handles a range of computer-related investigations. On Wall Street, futures modestly higher after stocks closed mixed yesterday. The Dow Industrials up 164. That's Your Money Now.
This morning at 10:30, join A-Hope on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe that every life is precious, that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. Today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
"Those stomach issues ruined your birthday.
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa."
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist and ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I want to thank, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to. The chairman the other day did a pretty good speech. So we were out at the James Chappie Memorial, and he did a very nice unity speech, which swole up my heart, but I say that jokingly, because it was good. And it was about him talking about the bridge and uniting people, but we live in a veteran community. And if you don't know the story of James Chappie, you should look it up. He's a historic veteran. But
Yeah, Mike Kohler, the commissioner for district, said James Chappie a couple of times. Chappie James, you know, but I
knew what he meant. I was listening.
Right.
Going, yeah,
you don't
right
really
on,
think
Mike.
Through,
yeah.
But that's
right,
fine.
Right.
Anyway.
Chappie James.
But the other thing that he wanted to mention during the county commission meeting was kind of an interesting development. It's news and also not news, but I'll let him have his say.
Last Monday, I was at the Republican meeting, and for the first time in the Escambia County Republican history, we elected a black man. His name's Charles Thornton, is the vice chairman. There were two constitutional officers there. There was a state rep there. There were a lot of people. It was a packed house, but Charles won because he has a big heart and he knows how to work for people. And Charles, I'm just proud of you and love to see the great things you're going to do. You're a great man. Glad to be your friend.
So it's a good news note in the sense of, you know, the Republicans elected a vice chairman black for the first time. Also, not a great news note because you have to make it a news note. Like, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know. It's just sort of yay, but also, ooh. You know, why did it have to take so long? That's always kind of the thing.
Welcome to the 1980s.
Exactly, right. And so I guess it's good. I did think it was kind of funny. You know how you can hear a word wrong and then you don't correct it? Did you notice what Mike Kohler said? That Luhmann gave a nice unity speech.
Yeah.
But he kind of said it fast, and a lot of times the commissioners are chatting with each other off mic, out of the sunshine, while the meeting's going on.
Right.
Or just, you know, maybe they're just making pleasantries. Who knows? Mics are off. It's hard to tell. Anyway, but, you know, listen to Commissioner May's comments, and particularly about Charles Thornton.
Thank you, Ms. Colin. Thank you for those kind remarks for the eulogy that I did. I thought it was an inspirational speech. I didn't know it was a eulogy, but
so he heard eulogy.
Oh,
instead
okay.
of unity. And he came back to this again and again throughout the meeting as a jab. And the funny, and I actually texted Luhmann, I'm like, you know, he said unity, right? Like, cause I try to help him sometimes when they're saying things that, I mean, not during the meeting, but you know, just after, just so he realizes what happened. But anyway,
congratulations to Charles. Cause Charles, I remember when you were elected to the Democratic Executive Committee. And so, what you call a Democrat, a Republican, and an independent,
that's funny.
Either Charlie Crist or Charles Thornton. So we're glad. Robert, we got you. No, that doesn't work in this. No, that never works here. But go ahead, Robert. You can speak at the Republican Executive Committee meeting.
I don't know. I thought it was funny. I like it when they're, you know, they're entertaining, and you know, sometimes they're entertaining in bad ways, sometimes they're entertaining in, you know, fairly boring, or you know, just like there's nothing, you know, significant about it, and I kind of like that. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, one of the other things, this was fascinating. The UWF, Chastity Hobbs, the director of conservation for UWF, had come to the meeting because they had a zoning request in for a really large couple of parcels of property at UWF. Now, this is, if you know the UWF layout, you know that just like west of campus, kind of north and west of campus, is this massive wilderness area with bike trails. Okay, massive wilderness area with bike trails. One of the coolest places to go biking. And then there's Pate Street, cuts right through the heart of it going up to Plant Crist. And then on the other side of Pate Street, there's another huge parcel of land. Like, you know, this is, I mean, I think it's like 400 acres or something. It's enormous, the two of them together. And so they had come with a rezoning request, and as kind of a, oh, okay.
In our previous campus master plan, which we are required to do every 10 years, there was much of Western Campus that was slated to be developed. That never happened. We just redid our campus master plan, and all of that, those parcels are actually deemed for conservation. The future land use map for these parcels also shows conservation, and so our request to the county is simply to fall in line with both our campus master plan and also the future land use plan.
So I didn't know this history, but apparently those two parcels, which kind of makes sense if UWF owned them, were originally intended to be developed as part of campus, but now they want to convert them over into conservation zoning so that they really can't be developed.
All of the folks in attendance were in approval of conserving this area. Most of the attendees attended because they were concerned that the university was developing parcels. That is not the case for these that are included in the rezoning application.
Which would be a reasonable thing for people to think, given that history, and of course that it's not developed now. Well, what would you want a rezoning for unless it's to develop it? And the answer is, we actually want to push it from what it could be developed as into something that it can't be developed. And even including things like they were talking about, you know, fire, because, you know, controlled burns, you go in and, you know, do they have any plans for that?
There is currently no approved plan to put fire on the property yet, but there is a plan to bring fire to this longleaf forest eventually.
And I think she was saying that the Forestry Service was actually out there looking at it during the day at that meeting, and so, you know, they are planning to do some controlled burning out there to get rid of the underbrush and that kind of stuff. But one of the real concerns from the community is, what about the cyclists?
We're working directly with PORC, that's the main group, the Pensacola Off-Road Cyclists. We're actually in the process of reapproving their memorandum, our MOU with them, to allow them to continue to work. We have no desire whatsoever to limit access, and the opposite is true. What we want is to put protections in place so that this western campus remains for us for some time to come.
So, I mean, do you feel like the group of cycling enthusiasts is supportive of what you're trying to do?
100%.
And that's Commissioner Stephen Berry asking that question. It's in his district, so it's fair to ask. And he was kind of leading the questions. I haven't included a lot of his clips, but he was leading the questions of her. We'll get back to this in a second, because I do think it's a really interesting thing that was happening. And I'll tell you, again, more about this in a moment. Candy has traffic on the fives.
Do I? There's a lot going on. For one, at 90 and 87 showing an accident, and it's blocked in both directions on 90. East and westbound, and then southbound on 87. And somebody had called and texted and said that they spoke with Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Department, said it could be 3 to 4 hours before that clears up. Mile marker 6 on eastbound I-10. Law enforcement and some machinery are in the right shoulder. Cars way off the road in the underbrush. As I understand, they're trying to get it out. It was buried deep, and the machinery is probably there to cut it out. So left lane is good. Move over. And if you see a slowdown, that's what that is. Large debris in the roadway. This is on the bridge on Highway 90, east and westbound, between Pace and Pensacola. Use caution there as well. And, of course, a heat advisory. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you have a traffic tip, text in. And if you could, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you've got pests in or around your home, termites, ants, mosquitoes, cockroaches, rats. I mean, it could be anything that you're dealing with. Burmese pythons. I don't know. call NSEC. They will take care of it, whatever it is. They'll come out. They'll be on time. They'll be professional. They'll identify the problem. They'll tell you how much it's likely to be, or, well, they'll tell you what it's going to be. You can decide yay or nay. The estimates are, of course, free. You go ahead with it. They'll do the treatment. They'll send you follow-up information, email, so you have pictures, what they did and how it worked, all of that stuff, okay? Right now, they got a fire ant program. Takes just one treatment. Bonds with the soil, protects you for a full year. That's $25 off right now. And for other things, $50 off for an annual pest control. Some restrictions apply, so do read the details. And mosquitoes are a big problem, right? They will identify the kind, the breed. They will figure out how to handle them, and they will create a customized program to solve your problem for you. That's NSEC, ENSEC.net. And NSEC is now hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians. Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Great pay and good benefits, advancement opportunities, 401k health insurance. You can apply at workwithnsec.com. So back to this conversation about the UWF request to convert some land over into conservation. Stephen Berry was kind of befuddled by this, and I understand why, because you think, well, it's already not developed. What do you get out of converting it over into conservation land?
What's the reason? I mean, what is the university benefit by getting the property zoned anything? It's hard for me to really quantify that, which makes me not question it, but I don't really understand. What is the intent?
The win is really for the forest and the surrounding community to put an additional layer of protection on those parcels to keep them from being developed.
Basically to put up a roadblock against any future development.
But they couldn't be developed as they are. They're not zoned anything anyway. They couldn't be developed currently. It would take action to develop them. And if the university didn't intend to develop them, then they just don't develop them.
Well, as I mentioned before, in our previous master plan, the university did intend to develop it. It is the current administration's take that it shouldn't be developed and it should remain as a forest.
So you basically have the current administration wants to make it harder to do because, yes, we would have had to rezone it from none to what something in order to develop it. But that had been the original plan. And so you can see how, like, a future administration might want to do that. And she's saying we want to protect it against that encroachment.
That's really the intent then. The leaders, current leadership intends for this to be conservation. Leadership changes periodically. This would ensure perpetual conservation. So that is the intent.
It would help to ensure. It would certainly not stop.
Okay.
I suspect that a future administration could come before this board and ask for another rezoning.
It would have to come back to before.
Exactly. Okay. And that is our intent, to put that extra layer.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
And by the way, I love this understanding of the process. Remember we talked about this whole business with the shark fishing and the shore fishing in Santa Rosa County and this, what I say is a no-effect resolution that we promise we'll put no new restrictions in. Well, you know, that board could change its mind. Any future board can change its mind. It takes three votes to put limits in. It's that simple. And so I love that she acknowledges that this is not a permanent protection. Of course, if a future administration of UWF decided that they want to develop the parcel that they own, they could come to the board and request a zoning change. And if they could get it with three votes, then they could, in fact, develop it. So there's no way to, like, make it permanent unless you divest the land. But then the new owner could do it. I mean, there's, so I like that she's honest about that, but the effort here is to put as much protection around it as possible. And I'm sure, I even got a text from somebody who lives in the area. He's like, oh, this is such good news. I love that they're protecting it permanently. And I don't know about the parcel on the northwest of Pate, but the parcel on the southeast of Pate, for the boardwalk that's in there and for the, you know, people go walking and running and the bike trails that are in there, that's really good news for, you know, just, again, one more step to make sure that that's protected as much as forever protection as it can be. 751 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a place I recommend. I had such a good experience with them that I can't say enough about them. It is a great place to shop for good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices. And part of the value is you go there and it's like a one-stop buffet of cars, right? You can sample a whole bunch of different ones because if you're looking for a minivan, there's going to be a bunch. If they're looking for a truck, there's going to be a bunch. And you can really compare all of the different makes and models side by side and decide, oh, I thought I'd like this, but I don't like it as much as I like that other one that I wasn't really interested in. But because I forced myself to come here where there's a lot to sample, I discovered that I like that. And listen, sit in several, play with several, drive several, and even I recommend drive something out of your zone. Have fun with it. You know, maybe you wouldn't normally think about buying a sports car. Drive one just for fun. You wouldn't think about a pickup truck. I don't know, drive one just for fun. Maybe what you decide is, yep, don't want one. Maybe what you decide is, ooh, you know, right? And then you can, I mean, that's the point. You never know until you try it. So Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in Tuesday morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and we'll be discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare. That's Tuesday morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
Band on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, country music duo Wester takes the stage. Wester is comprised of Pensacola's own Pearl Clarkin and Rafe Wester, and they pack a fun, fresh, and explosive punch. It's Bands on the Beach with Wester this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hey, Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa. I want you to get me an Oompa Loompa right away.
All right, Ruko, all right. I'll get you one before the day's out.
I want an Oompa Loompa now!
Can it, you nit!
I can see why you think you belong to me.
Good morning, 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Candy has a very brief traffic report because there's nothing going on today at all.
Yeah, I wish. Traffic is easy if there's nothing going
That's
on,
right.
man. I'm
Not
saying.
Today.
That's why. Okay, this is brought to you by ECUA. I got to come out of the Pure Prairie League to do it. Great. I love that song. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now a call for pickup. They used to just do it, but now you call 2 p.m. the day before your normal service day. You can learn more, ecua.fl.gov, and there is a lot going on. Highway 90 and 87, an accident almost when the show started, so a couple hours ago, and as we understand, it's going to be blocked for a couple of hours, and it's blocked east and westbound on 90. And blocked southbound on 87. Large debris in the roadway on the bridge between Pace and Pensacola on Highway 90, both east and westbound. And mile marker 6 on eastbound I-10. Law enforcement and machinery in the right shoulder and a car way off the road in the underbrush. Barely visible, or at least it was. So I think they're trying to get that out. Left lane was good, so move over. And certainly if you hear me say something that you know is different or you see an accident or have a traffic tip, by all means, please text it in 437-1620. We appreciate you so much. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, some sad news as we heard on Fox there a few minutes ago. Tony Bennett has died.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart.
Boy, they just don't make it like that anymore. He was 96 years old and was diagnosed with Alzheimer's back in 2016. Of course, he had continued performing and recording all the way through 2021. His last appearance was at Radio City Hall with Lady Gaga in 2021.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's an unlikely pairing. He died Friday morning in New York City. And the Biden administration now has gotten voluntary commitments from AI companies, they say, to commit to responsible development of the technology. The White House says that 7 top AI companies have committed to managing the risks posed by the technology.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Yeah, sad news, obviously, to hear that about Tony Bennett. We talked earlier about the Escambia County School Board trying to figure out what to do with the time limits on speaking and which public to allow and how much. And their consultant told a funny story about trying to please everybody.
It reminds me of a very short Ms. Hightower. It reminds me of a story that I heard. We're going to take a visit to the relatives 2 towns from there.
A father and a son.
And
taking their donkey.
And it was a hot day and they had a donkey and the boy mounted the donkey and the father walked along beside him and they walked across this hot dusty desert, this poor old bald father and his son riding the donkey, and they moved into the first town and the townspeople said just loud enough for them to hear, look at that inconsiderate son making his poor old bald bearded father walk across the hot dusty desert while he rides. Well, they realized they had a point, so they changed places. The father rode, the son walked. They came into the next town, and in the next town, the people said loud enough for them to hear, look at that poor inconsiderate father making his young son walk across his hot, dusty desert while he rode the donkey. And they dismounted and talked about it for a while, and the donkey wandered away and they never saw it again. Now, the moral of this story is sometimes you try to please everyone, you lose your ass.
Also true, maybe.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Well, the city of Pensacola may have to defend itself from contempt of court allegations because of the removal of that Confederate monument a few years ago. We'll have more on that after Fox News at News Radio 92.3.
This is a Fox News alert. An American music icon has died. I'm Dave Anthony.
Fly me to the moon.
Tony Bennett.
And let me play among the stars.
He himself was a star who won 20 Grammys over a 70-plus-year career.
I left my heart.